Good morning, and welcome to Frankly Speaking. This week, we'll discuss the FDR years, a new deal for the arts. I'm Joan Ziemba for George Mason University.
When you buy clothes on easy terms, collectors treat you like a measly worm. $1 down, and then Lord knows if you don't make the payment, they take your clothes. Go to bed at night.
In 1932, 12 million people were unemployed. Over a million jobless roamed the country as hobos while thousands of others stood in bread lines. There was no work and no hope. Then on Inauguration Day 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt pledged himself to a new deal for the American people.
Franklin D. Roosevelt's his name. In this country he's won fame. He's shaken the hands of the poor and called them friends.
FDR developed the programs which would put the nation back on its feet. There were immediate recovery programs for farmers, for business, and most importantly, for what Roosevelt called the forgotten man. The Works Progress Administration, which would eventually employ over 2 million people, was most noted for its willingness to put people to work at their own trades, and that included the arts. Federal projects were developed for writers, artists, and musicians. But the project to gain the most attention and criticism was the Federal Theater Project. With us today to discuss the FDR years in the arts are Lorraine Brown, director of the Institute on the Federal Theater Project and New Deal Culture, and Art Malella, curator of the new Smithsonian FDR exhibit. This month, we've heard a lot about the New Deal and New Deal culture. Does this phrase refer to the society, its problems, the federal approaches to the problems, or the people's response? Lorraine, Art?
Orientation to New Deal culture is the idea of a history from the bottom up. Carolyn Ware, who was a historian, is a historian, but worked in the New Deal agencies, talks about in 1939 how really history was written from diaries, memoirs of prominent, powerful people. And she's saying that's all well and good, but what is needed is to study the culture of ordinary people. And so for me, New Deal culture means the things created on the arts projects, certainly, but one can study comic books, one can study radio scripts, one can study a multiplicity of artifacts.
Things that are now going under the name of popular culture, mm-hmm. I think, in historical yeah. scholarship. Things that were once considered derogated or put down as American, perhaps, and something without the European connections that we ordinarily look for in studying American culture, and that is considered not high culture, you see, and uh-huh. so therefore unworthy of study.
Right. It's coming to the fore now. Ordinary people all of a sudden were worth studying. That's what the Farm Security Administration photographs are all about. You go out there and find out what's happening in the Dust Bowl, and these are worthy objects of study.
To study a lifestyle.
It wasn't being studied historically then. What's happened is that historians are now taking advantage of this very unique kind of evidence.
Well, the 30s and the Roosevelt years have produced an incredible record of life in the times. And I understand much of those records are in the Smithsonian exhibit.
We've gathered a lot of the record from a diversity of places, and it's an uncovering process, I have to say. Many of these things are very unique, but were not preserved with the kind of care that they should have had. Just the sorts of paintings that I use, the WPA paintings that I show. We were able to gather these things from other Smithsonian the art museums, but they were previously at the Labor Department and under wraps or just put aside as a kind of art form that really wasn't fully understood, I think, by art historians to begin with, and not to mention the government that was heir to these things.
Well, it's almost a time capsule of that entire era.
Well, there was an impulse to document. I think that's the thing at the time. Bill Stott talks about if you really got information about what was happening to people in the Dust Bowl, then somehow people would feel it's naive, maybe in 1980 terms. If people understood the problems, they would be willing to do something about them. Mm-hmm. And so you documented, you gathered evidence with an eye really to reform, to getting measures through Congress maybe, but to really have some kind of impact on ordinary people's lives.
Do you feel that the work represents that type of social protest?
And I'm not sure really what that term means. Nobody was really taking even counts on unemployment figures. There was no, we're used to if there's unemployment, somebody goes out and tries to find out. But that didn't happen under the Hoover administration. What FDR and I think the New Dealers were trying to do is to provide factual information about what was happening so that it wasn't your idea about the Depression or mine, but the facts were there to study.
Mm-hmm.
Art is saying that once there was some kind of recovery, the impulse then was to cover it over again because we're into wartime and we all know we're happy and fat and satisfied again.
Mm. There's also a look for things that were uniquely American, too, at that time. There was perhaps a reaction against the kind of flight from American culture that you saw in the 20s. You know, you hear about the writers and the artists going to Paris to look for culture and their artistic identities. There was a sort of a pendulum swing against that in the period, and so you just had a remarkably microscopic look at things American in that period, and very unique. I don't think it's really been matched since.
Now, in the theater project, for instance, you would study a region, you would set up a theater unit, and you would study the history of the community. You get together, and this is theoretically, put together a scenario. Many people would work on this. And then you would put on a play recounting the history of Blue Hill, Maine, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So you retrieve your local history, you dramatize it, and you encourage people to use the theater, to come to the theater, because it reflects, as you say, American values, American experience, American history. And for theater in this country, that was very unique. It had been Broadway, it was Chicago, it was L.A., not mm-hmm. regional. What I've never had time to really look at in detail is the regional theaters of the Federal Theater, I think, obviously did spur and perhaps were even modern-day regional theaters owe a great debt in a community to what Federal Theater started.
The Federal Theater was probably the most controversial of any of the art projects, and of course that's now housed at George Mason on permanent loan from the Library of Congress. What were some of the other arts projects at that time under the Works Projects Administration?
Well, the Federal One consisted of the Writers Project, the Music Project, Art Project, and Theater Project, and they were called Federal One collectively.
Writers Project.
Writers. Did I say writers? I meant to.
What was the sentiment at the time? What inspired that type of not quite contribution to the arts, but the involvement of the arts in a time when crops were failing and there were problems of tremendous magnitude? Why this interest in the arts?
I think it's important to recognize the New Deal not only as a political program, but as a sort of spiritual achievement at that time as well. I think if Roosevelt accomplished nothing else at that time, people debate the economic effects of his recovery programs. But if nothing else, it was a spiritual triumph for the American people. People did feel hope when he gave his first inaugural address. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. These art programs were, I think, a conscious and an unconscious extension of that Rooseveltian spirit at that time. The immediate reason, of course, was to give artists of all stripes employment in that period. But the effect was far beyond that. The cultural programs became sort of banners for the whole New Deal, the Works Progress Administration, and what have you. And they became symbolic, and they fostered a sense of community that was very necessary in that period for any kind of recovery, national recovery.
I could go back for a second to what Art has talked about, the role that the art projects had. It's part of it, and it makes us wonder what's going to happen in the future when CETA programs now have been cut back. It preserved the talents of artists that you could, if you were a musician or if you were an artist, you could work at your craft. And Hopkins was, well, saying what artists get as hungry as other people. But it did preserve their skills, and it also, because of an apprenticeship program, provided training for young people who then went on after the art projects were censored, mm-hmm. Whatever. And it's that preservation of artistic talent that's so important.
Well, the Federal Theater Project created a brand new base for black theater, did it not? For
certainly.
The legitimacy of black theater.
first time that there had been federal money for black playwrights and actors and whatever. It made it possible for stagehands to work below 125th Street, made it possible for a black man to join the set designers union. That kind of breakthrough was extraordinarily important. Again, we need to remember that until 1955, black people would not be seated in New York in an audience except in the balcony. They wouldn't take a chance unless you got your tickets by mail. You walked up to the box office and they would not put you in the first, 10 rows. And that seems incredible, but it's true. Federal Theater helped.
Of the plays that were originally introduced during the Federal Theater Project, are there any of those that are still being produced today?
Well, you know, the trouble with the Federal Theater material is when you bury something for 40 years, those scripts haven't been available. Now, suddenly, they're on the shelf and they are ready. You see, unless it was something that had been bought by a Mike Todd, like the Swing Mikado, those scripts, once they were out of circulation, nobody knew about. So our job here is to try to get various theater groups interested again in what was done, particularly, we think, the Living Newspaper, which, again, has European roots, but makes somehow theater a very American kind of theater.
It was also, in terms of what we were discussing before, a form of social protest through the arts. I think the Living Newspapers were the first real form of social protest in that sense on stage.
We just haven't had political theater in this country.
I'm curious, do you think audiences of 1982 would be interested in seeing a Living Theater, a Living Newspaper type productions?
I think we could probably even do some of the ones we have right now, maybe update, maybe just the way they are on housing, on power, again, what part private and public mm-hmm. utilities have, on disease, on labor unions. No, I think they are. They might need, the large cast might inhibit productions, but we could always do some doubling. And for us, I think both of us are interested in the fact that the artist and the audience were brought together. If you painted a mural in a post office, people could watch you do it. And the artist was not a recluse. He didn't live in his garret. The same way with theater people, that you really took theater out to the West Virginia hills. You took Shakespeare out there, and you really made contact with audience that had never been tapped before. And that coming together is, I think, part of the whole FDR, as you said before, spiritual mission.
And these are audiences that again are untapped today. I think theater again seems to have been an elite form of entertainment in this town and elsewhere in America.
I'm afraid we're out of time. Art, would you like to say a few words about the exhibit at the Smithsonian?
Yes, the Smithsonian exhibit deals with not only the cultural projects, but various types of communication in the 1930s. The title of the exhibit is FDR, The Intimate Presidency, and deals with FDR's contact with people and his fostering of contact among the American people. In that period, we cover many of the New Deal cultural programs as vehicles for making connection. We look at the Farm Security Administration photographs, a fine selection of those. The arts projects, the Federal Theater has a prominent role in the exhibit, Writers Project, and so forth. We go then into media. Roosevelt's use of the radio becomes our model for that. The fireside chat is a centerpiece for this. But we also deal with mass periodicals, Life magazine, Look magazine, coming in during mm-hmm. the 30s. Wire photos, wire services being very prominent. And even television comes in at the end of the decade with Roosevelt as a star of television and newsreels.
How long will the exhibit be up?
It'll run for 6 months.
Thank you, Art and Lorraine. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator, Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Jonesy Emba for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.